Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Hello and welcome to the RTC Weekly Download. I'm your host, Jim Dolan, and today we have another hour of great old-time radio. We're going to start off with Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall in a program called Bold Venture, and we'll follow that with Crime Classics. But first, here's Bold Venture, The Mystery of the Mary Kay, from 1944.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance, starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall. Together in the sultry setting of tropical Havana and the mysterious islands of the Caribbean, Bold Venture. Once again, the magic names of Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall bring you Bold Venture and a tale of mystery and intrigue.
Take the wheel, sailor. Steady as she goes.
What's the matter? You tired? Want to get some sleep?
I'll sleep in Havana. Right now, I want to stand back and admire those jeans you bought in Key West.
You twisted my arm. Like them?
I don't know. I kind of have my heart set on something with fringe, something frilly and feminine.
They've got copper rivets. How frilly can you get?
I don't know about you, sailor. You begged me for a week to take you on a shopping trip. You finally wheedled me into it.
Wheedle, he says. I'd darn your socks, do KP. If we had a lawn, you'd have had me mowing it. So what's wheedle?
Oh, I made you earn your money. What do you do with it? Buy a pair of cowboy pants.
You picked them out yourself. You said they did something for me.
They do, sailor. They do. And for me, too. They... Wait a minute. Turn on that searchlight.
Because you want me to walk up and down for you? So you can admire me some more?
Now, there's something out there on the water drifting through the mist. Turn it on, sailor.
Aye, aye.
Swing it over to starboard. Yeah. It's a lifeboat just drifting.
People in it, Slate. They look... They're lying there huddled in a heap.
Pull up alongside, sailor, quick. Bring her in close. Ahoy! Ahoy!
They can't answer you, Slate. They're...
Yeah. Hold her tight, sailor. I'm going to board her. Steady. Closer. A little closer. Okay, cut your motors.
What's wrong, Slate? What's the matter?
Four men, machine gun, dead.
Slate, come back.
Whoever did it tried to sink them. Boat's riddled, too. Look at those rips in her topsides. Stuffed up with bloody pieces of clothes. Rags. One of them must have lived a little while.
Who does things like that?
There's a packet of hardtack lying here. Stenciled Mary Kay. Throw me a line, sailor. We just bought ourselves a funeral.
Captain?
Oh, good morning, Buck. Grab yourself a chair. You got something for me, Buck?
$105 bills, 50 $10 bills, new, crisp, and American. Here.
Hold on to the dough till we get outside.
In the bank, when I changed the money into clean bills, the clerk asked me how I came by such filthy currency.
You put a finger to your trim mustache and told him what?
That I was a rent collector in the barrio. I can arrange for another shipment very shortly.
I can use some more money.
The simplicity of it. Refugees will get somehow into Cuba, then want to sneak into the States at $500 per sneak. Load them on the Mary Kay, sail the boat in circles for a few hours, tell the people that we are near Key West, Put them in a lifeboat, shoot them, sink the lifeboat. No trace back to us, the American phrase is it not?
No trace back. It'll do. Take your places in line, senor, senorita. There are many who have priority over you.
Now look, Chico, I told you the harbor police sent us over.
What's around you, Senor Shannon? All these people who wait have tried to seduce from me a hearing with the port authority. Each with his own feeble excuse. They sit, they wait. You will do the same.
Get off your fat desk, Chico. Maybe you can convince easier. Off your...
Put him down, Slate. I've got a better way.
This matter of manhandling an official... However, thank you for your kindness, senorita.
We found a lifeboat drifting in the Caribbean with four dead men in it.
Oh, I pity for your limpid eyes to gaze upon such things.
And the packet marked Mary Kay?
The Mary Kay. You saw this? You are proof positive?
Better than that. We'll accept no substitutes. Not even for you, Chico. Get us to your boss.
Of course, naturally. One moment. Immediately.
See how easy it is, Slate?
Yeah. I wish I had limp eyes.
Limp it.
Well, put it in your diary, sailor, how a blown-up little man once said to you...
Please to go in, you both. Senor Estrella will speak to you of your matter.
Troika, sailor, he did peachy.
It might spoil him for somebody else. Come on.
Senor Buck... Here is Alfredo Vincenti. Listen well, senor. Two are here, Shannon and Dufour. They are heavy with knowledge of the Mary Kay. Excellente. And for me, your $100 will be a joy. It is of no moment to me what you do to them. Forever thank you, Senor Buck.
What you tell me is most interesting, Senor Shannon.
Four dead men in a boat, senor, shot to death.
Ah, interesting.
When I turned the boat over to the harbor police, I told them I thought the men had been machine gunned to death. They agreed.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah, I guess that's pretty interesting. Four dead men, machine gunned, drifting around in the middle of the ocean. Let's go, Slate. We're boring the man.
Please, senorita.
The lady's right. What do we have to do to get a rise out of you?
Just tell me about this small carton here.
The hardtack?
The hardtack, senor. I mean the words printed on the carton.
The Mary Kay? Look, how much do you have to explain to the port authority? The Mary Kay is the name of a boat.
Named the Mary Kay.
I know. Now I will tell you something. 1 year ago, the Mary Kay leave Havana for Hanoi. She picked up a load of unbleached linen at San Domingo. And what I'm going to tell you next, senor, senorita, this will be interesting.
I doubt it, but go ahead.
The Mary Kay has not been heard of since.
Why don't you try to get some rest, Slate? You haven't slept since we left Key West.
That eats me. It eats me why four men are machine gunned in an open boat. After burning the sun, left to the seagulls.
Don't think about it anymore. We've done all we can do.
Four guys with their mouths open and a scream, screaming across an empty sea. Nobody to hear them.
The authorities have got it, Slate. Let them keep it. Belongs to them.
Yeah. It interests them. Isn't that what the man said? That it interested him?
That was just his way of saying it bothered him. Four dead men off a boat that hasn't been heard of in a year. There aren't many words for that.
Yeah. Could have shed an official tear, had a catch in his throat. Whatever is the standard operating emotion when four men die who didn't want to die.
It's in their hands, Slate. Don't try to take it away from them. It might hurt you more.
I've seen men dead like that. In a war. Never on a tropical sea. That's for living like you dreamed. For reaching out your hand.
I know. It's for what I've got. What can I do, Slate, to wash that look out of your eyes?
The door to my office is closed, Buster. It's cricket here to knock first.
I'm certain you will forgive me because tragedy does not wait to knock upon the door.
We've got our own troubles, mister. Peddle yours somewhere else.
This thing of the Mary Kay has brought anguish to all of us, has it not, my sons?
What do you know about the Mary Kay?
Only that 6 months ago, my brother booked passage on her. He was never seen again.
That's impossible. The Mary Kay was reported lost at sea a year ago.
This is not so. 6 months ago, my brother boarded her.
Let's take her to the cops. Things like this interest them. They tell me.
Please, hear me out. My brother was a refugee, illegally in this country, trying to gain entry into the States illegally, under Mary Kay. I'm in all ways like my brother.
Now we know why you can't go to the police. That leaves...
The question of why I am here. To take you to a man who knows everything of the Mary Kay. To ask you to plead with him for a morsel about my brother. To ask him if my brother's destiny was similar to the man whom you found.
How'd you know about that?
In the barrio, in the place of the lost and the not wanted. Word comes to us. We scavenge for it. You will come with me to the Café Pollo, where he is. Both of you?
Just me. I'll need her to come back to.
My friend will be delighted to see you, Mr. Shannon.
I'm happy for your friend. Still haven't told me who he is.
His own identification he will reveal. I am not at liberty. Please, in here. He is here, my captain.
Captain of what?
Captain Dana. Sit down, Shannon.
Oh, thanks. You're going to tell me about the Mary Kay?
Sure. I'll pour your coffee for you, Shannon. You like coffee?
I could use some. Ah, that's fine coffee.
Oh, I once sailed a boat up the Orinoco. I brought all the coffee beans back with me the boat would hold.
My captain is a gentleman of exquisite tastes.
You said you sailed a boat. Your own?
My own. A schooner.
Named the Mary Kay?
Uh-huh.
Isn't that delightful?
Oh. Mary Kay. Yeah. Open the window. You. Hey, I'm talking to you. Open it.
Something wrong, Mr. Shannon?
Stuffy. Let's see. What about the Mary Kay, Captain? Tell me.
You found a boat, Shannon. That boat was off my ship.
Oh, it couldn't be. Mary Kay. Not heard from for a year. Sunk, probably.
Not sunk? She's lying in a cove down the coast.
What?
You're beginning to look like a man who hasn't had it too easy, Shannon.
Huh? Something in that coffee. Dope me.
Don't fight it, Shannon.
Gotta get out of here. There. Got it.
Must not let him, Captain.
Don't worry about it. What Shannon needs is some nice sea air.
My captain is so understand. Our
stars, Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, and the second act of our story.
Lady Sailor, she go on buying spree to get for herself some finery. She pose and she strut, then she cry in her throat. For in the ocean sea are four dead in a boat. She cried to Mr. Slate, what do they there? These dead men sailing in the cold, cold air. Mr. Slate, he say, we ask authority, for such things are no man's destiny.
That's just about the way he said it, King.
I know how Mr. Slate feel inside about such things. That's why I try to give it song.
You're good, King. You ought to go into the business.
The business of explaining people to themselves? I do not own a doctor's couch. All I have in the world is a guitar and a calypso song.
And Slate and me.
Yes, and Mr. Slate and Lady Sailor. But one of you is now missing.
That man was taking him to the Café Pollo. He said that...
I know the Café Pollo.
Oh? What about it, King?
Only that if men do not return from it in a proper interval of time, they should be called for.
You're telling me to...
To go find Mr. Slate, to bring him back.
Yeah. The joint doesn't run so good without him, does it? Keep a light in the window for us, King.
You are looking for something, Miss Duval? Refreshment, perhaps?
A Slate. Where is he?
It is a world of coincidences, my Miss Duval.
I'll take it up with you later. Right now, all I want is Slate.
A world of coincidences, because I was about to go looking for you.
So I saved your trolley fare. That wins me a prize. Slate Shannon.
A woman like you. Any man in the world would grovel at your feet, and all you want is...
Because he doesn't grovel. Slate came here with you because you wanted help about your brother on the Mary Kay. When he left here, did he tell you where he was going?
No. But I will take you to him.
I'll find him myself.
I will take you to him, Miss Duval. This gun in my coat pocket says you cannot deny me this moment.
Huh?
This gun.
Oh, that's what I like about you. You're so helpless. Lead on, gun.
How do you feel, Shannon? Sea air kissing your back with us?
What'd you put in that coffee?
Recipe my galley cook taught me. Good, huh?
You got what? Include me in. All I've been to you, Billy Boy, include me.
Me up for 3 days. I thought I was dead.
Don't get eager, Shannon. This time you'll be dead for real.
From the lousy coffee?
From bullets from this Tommy gun.
Like what you did to the four men I found in your lifeboat, huh?
Just like that. Only this time nobody finds anything.
You want me to ask you why? All right. See, I'm asking why.
Good question. Because when you found that lifeboat, found it was off the Mary Kay, you became a refugee.
Like those other people at the other end of this boat?
Just like that. Except they pay me $500 a head to die. You get yours for nothing. Free.
They think they're going to America. You can't do that to those people. They've scraped, they've begged, they've cried against alley walls. What happened to you, Dana? And what slime did you get sick?
I'm generous. I'm going to take these poor hulks aboard the Mary Kay, give them a break. Sail them around a little. Let them get a sniff at what they've been dreaming about.
Listen to me, you people. They'll kill you. You'll never get what you want.
You're talked out of turn, Shannon.
Get back, you filth. Get back. You want to see the Mary Kay, don't you?
That's good. Just be nice little refugees and Captain Dane will find your home.
Down those steps, into the hold.
After you.
I said down those steps.
Hello, everybody. I'm sorry about that entrance. I was pushed.
Lady, of these four of us, the rest, they do not understand your speech. Only I. The other one, the one in the corner, speaks nothing.
What are you doing here?
Nearing the end of a dream. We're going to America.
You mean you're entering the States illegally?
For the same $500 which you have paid. Sit down with us and...
One of your friends sounds like he's getting paradise the hard way.
The one in the corner?
Oh, my head. Where am I?
Slate! Slate, this is Sailor. What happened to you?
Sailor? How did you get here?
If I'd have known that man was taking me to you, I'd have gone quietly. He wouldn't have needed a gun.
What man?
Our boy who took you to the Café Pollo.
You followed me, huh? You know what you got yourself into?
I know.
This is the Mary Kay. It's a phantom ship. Lives in this rotting cove. Sails to sea with people without passports. It gives them to the sea. Dead.
Those people are refugees. Those four over there watching us?
Yeah. The only difference is we get to ride free.
You people down there, we're setting sail. Just relax. It'll take no time at all.
It's going to be tough, sailor, getting them to believe us. They've been promising America to themselves for who knows how long.
You've got to make them understand. That one, Slate, the tall man in the leather jacket. He's the only one who speaks English.
Well, let's try. You, mister.
Laszlo Vanek.
Slate Shannon. Mr. Val tells me you speak English.
Poorly.
You've got an idea you're going to America. You're wrong.
What are you saying?
The men who sail this boat are lying to you. They've taken your money. They're going to load you in a boat. They're going to spray you with machine gun bullets.
Please, slowly.
They're going to kill all of us and dump us into the ocean.
We go to America.
You'll never see it, Vanek.
A jest? A trick?
Call it anything you like, mister. You don't believe what I'm telling you? Ducks. You, me, your friends, Mr. Val. Dead ones.
There's sincerity in your face. However, we cannot turn aside a dream for that.
Look, listen to me. Yesterday, four men were picked up at sea. They were in a small boat.
I have knowledge of this from the newspaper.
That boat was off this schooner.
You're lying.
Off this boat. The Mary Kay. By the time I get you to believe it, it'll be too late. I need your help.
It's so close to America.
You've never been further away.
We would kill you if you lied.
I'd expect you to.
Speak some more to me.
In a little while, that door up there will open. A man will come through. He'll probably have a Tommy gun.
Good people, lucky people, stand up. On your feet. Perhaps you did not understand me. I shall repeat myself.
Just tell us once what you're doing with that Tommy gun in your hands.
Keep your lovely lips shut, Miss Duval.
That Tommy gun makes you a big man, doesn't it, Buck? Why don't you answer the lady?
Just stand aside, Shannon. I'm talking to these people. I am their friend.
They tell us they are our friends. They tell us you are not. They tell us you wish to kill us.
Up those steps. Tell the others quickly.
They've quickened up.
Get the letter! Get them!
You got a good aim, sailor. He's not going to make much noise with your handkerchief in his mouth.
And tell him not to chew it into shreds. It's the only one I got with my initials on it.
Now what, Mr. Shannon?
Now pick up that gun.
Yes. And now?
We're going on deck. You and your people will take care of the crew.
And you?
I want Dana all to myself.
And what do I do?
Up on deck, there's going to be a Tommy gun, sailor. It sprays bullets. You stay here. Find something heavy and amuse Bach with it.
You say so. Bucky, old boy, it's just you and me. If you blink an eyelash, I'm going to let you have it right where you think.
That's my sailor. Come on, Vanek. There's a wheel shelter, Vanek. There's a man up forward. You're on your own.
Good luck, Mr. Shannon.
Yeah.
That's you, Buck? They loaded?
No, they're not loaded.
Shannon, well, well.
Now, who's going to be sorry for who?
Tell me what happened.
That happened. They're throwing your crew into the ocean, my captain. Before you try to find the gun, try this first.
I like it better this way.
Any way you want. Yeah, I'll pass it on. Your trip's over, Captain.
The boat's in our hands, Mr. Shannon.
We'll head her back to Havana.
No. This we cannot do. We have come too far to turn back. You will take the power launch and return to Havana. We will take our chances.
I'll pick you up. You'll never make it.
We will take our chances.
Okay. Suit yourself. How'd you make out, sailor?
Three hits, no errors. How about you?
I'll tell you about it on the way home.
yourself, Slate.
Well, what?
I've been standing in front of you for 10 minutes at parade rest. Haven't you noticed anything?
Let me look. Oh, you're wearing fingernail polish.
Notice anything else?
Shoes with heels.
That's right. Keep trying.
Oh, you mean the dress? I didn't notice.
If you wore one, I'd notice.
Well, you've seen one dress, you've seen them all, I always say.
Oh, is that what you always say? I always say...
Come here. Why do you always talk so much?
A girl likes to call attention to herself. Why do I always talk so much?
And so our two stars, Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall, have brought to a close our latest Bold Venture story. Special music was composed and conducted by David Rose. May we invite you to listen again next week at this time for another exciting adventure starring Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall together in Bold Venture.
Bold Venture, The Mystery of the Mary Kay from 1944, and that's from Ziv Productions. That was a syndicated radio show back then, and they had syndicated radio shows just like they have syndicated TV shows today. What do you know? Now we have our episode of Crime Classics from 1954, The Lethal Habit of the Marquise.
Good evening. This is Crime Classics. I am Thomas Highland with another true story of crime. Listen. Marie Magdalene, the Marquise de Brinvilliers, pouring corrosive sublimate in solution into a beaker. Add a pinch of lead arsenic, sprinkle flour of quince, heaping teaspoonful of calcined vitriol, swish it around to make everything go into solution, and since pigeon pie, unpoisoned that is, was her daddy's favorite dish, especially the way she made it, just like Mom, pour all the solution onto a pigeon pie.
Papa? Pie?
See how lovely.
Tonight, my report to you on The Lethal Habit of the Marquise de Brinvilliers.
Crime Classics. A series of true crime stories taken from the records and newspapers of every land, from every time. Your host each week, Mr. Thomas Highland, connoisseur of crime, student of violence, and teller of murders. Now, once again, Mr. Thomas Highland.
France just about went broke under Louis XIV. What with building Versailles and some other minor palaces, and what with his peccadilloes and lavishments, to say nothing of l'affaire des Trois Chevaux, Louis brought practically all of France to its knees. However, to be an aristocrat at this time was a very fine thing. Louis took care of his friends. If he couldn't get it for you, it couldn't be had. And one of his favorites, a fortunate man who had the run of the palace, was a marquis named Henri de Brinvilliers. One of his favorite rooms was the dueling chamber. His favorite sport du jour.
Now guard yourself. Guard. Touché, you touched.
Did you like that defense, Godin?
Oh, very much. I thought this new attack I learned would surely confound you.
Oh, you are young. You get better all the time.
Thank you. Another bout, Henri?
Oh, no, not now. I have an appointment in a little time.
Oh?
The Duke of Provence returned now from Africa. He brought Curé Godin.
Yes.
Will you join me?
No, I'm sorry, but I cannot.
Oh, it should be most amusing.
I have an appointment with your wife.
Oh, yes.
Did she tell you?
Yes, and I forgot. Godin.
Yes?
Take some roses to her for me. Tell her I adore her. Tell her I'll meet her at Louis's party later. And for heaven's sake, not to wear that shepherdess thing she wears.
Oh, she won't be able to meet you.
Oh?
I have an appointment with her for this evening, too.
Oh.
We're visiting the Dr. Muriac, who is discoursing on the philosophy of Aristotle.
Oh, she'll enjoy that.
Yes.
Marie told me yesterday that the two of you had a salon at Pantaplié and how much she enjoyed it. I only wish I had the time.
Do not disturb yourself with the thought. I'm more than happy to accommodate the Marquise.
Ah, good friend.
Trust me always.
Oh, I do.
Maddie?
Yes, beloved. Yes, my cavalier. Yes, my lord.
Your husband.
What of him, beloved cavalier, lord?
He is my friend.
Oh, now listen.
Your husband is
now
my...
listen.
Yes.
You are his friend even more than he is yours.
Oh?
To escort me. Therefore, assuming his responsibilities toward me. Therefore, keeping me in constant joy. Therefore, not calling him to task that he comes home no more.
True. Even tonight he is at the Duke of Provence, examining curios from Africa.
And other nights, curios, treasures.
Then what you say is very true.
You are a very good friend to him.
True. However...
What?
This evening we're to visit Dr. Muriac. So I told your husband.
Philosophies of Aristotle. Together we could learn a truth that Aristotle never dreamed of. Oh, cavalier. Oh, beloved.
Oh, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Marie!
Papa!
Arrest that man. Your day has come, Gounod Sacrois. As magistrate of Paris, I order these men to take you to the Bastille.
Papa!
But, sir, your honor, your daughter and I were just making ready to go to elect.
Take him out!
Dr. Muriac on Aristotle. Marie, wait for me.
And that will rid you of him, Marie. Remember, you are a marquise. You are a wife. And as long as I am your father, your marriage will be an honorable one.
Papa. Papa.
Gaudin Saint Croix was charged with molesting Tranquility, a catch-all ordinance of the day. And when he appeared before the court, well, you know who was sitting on the bench. Papa, the Marquise's father. And he was such a good father, so concerned with his daughter's tranquility, that Gaudin got the limit of the law, 3 years in the Bastille. In jail, he was not what you'd call a mixer. He read a lot and mostly used to sit on the stone floor at the feet of one Exili Fortunato. Exili was a lifer, having practically wiped out a small village in the south of France by poison. An experimenter, alchemist and scientist that he was.
Elixir of tawny berry. Which berries gathered neath the quarter moon will produce a withering of the chest cavity. Death in 3 days.
I remember that one.
Acid of sulfur stirred into a broth of infernal stones and ladled gently into the ear.
But this must be done when the subject sleeps.
True.
One that causes a quick and classic pain. And is quick and leaves no trace, actually.
Lead arsenate, tripled distilled. Desiccate the flour of quince and sprinkle it. Then calcined vitriol. And you are king of the world.
And it was that last one Gaudin remembered. All in all, it was not a bad 3 years. When Gaudin left the Bastille, he knew more about poisons than any man in France. It was a spring day when he was released, and Marie had waited. As a matter of fact, she greeted him when he walked from the darkness of prison into the sunlight of April.
Gaudin! Gaudin! Beloved! Beloved cavalier! Oh, Gaudin! Gaudin, hold me thus forever. Oh, but how long we will be together, I do not know, for Papa...
Let us poison your Papa.
What did you say?
Let us poison your Papa.
A suggestion of excellence.
Yes.
Pluck the thorn and gain a rose.
Oh?
For Papa is very rich, and he has a will, and I am his favorite.
Killing two unicorns with one dart.
Yes. Gaudin?
Yes.
The poison.
Hush. Hush.
Mathilde?
Yes, madame?
Come here, Mathilde.
Yes, madame. Yes, madame?
The Chevalier Sainte-Croix wishes to give you something.
Oh, yes, madame. Yes, monsieur.
A suite for a pretty serving girl.
Oh, yes, monsieur.
A triangle tart of honey and crushed poppy seeds. Take it. Take it, Mathilde.
Yes, monsieur.
Eat it, Mathilde.
Yes, madame.
Is it good?
Yes, madame.
Still good?
Yes, madame.
Well?
I... Madame!
What is it, Mathilde?
I have a tingling feeling, as if my heart were being...
Pricked with needles?
Yes, monsieur. And a great wave of blackness here.
I told you, Maddie.
And now my head, as if a sheet of red pain, like a terrible curtain, were descending. And...
Beloved, is she dead?
Quite. It works. The poison I concocted is deadly and quick. Oh, my thanks to you, Exili, there in the Bastille, for truly it is as you said. I feel as if I am king of the world.
Command me. Command me.
Scientific approach, the formula, the experiment, the proof. Marie de Brinvilliers gave the body of her serving girl to the surgeons, for which she was profusely thanked. And a week later, Gaudin, having taught Marie everything he knew, you remember, she poured the corrosive sublimate into a beaker. Now add a pinch of lead arsenate. Sprinkle the flour of quince, heaping teaspoonful of calcined vitriol. Swish it around, then pour it all onto a pigeon pie.
Papa, here is your pigeon pie.
See how lovely it looks.
Eat it, Papa.
I want to.
Is it good?
Oh, yes.
Still good?
The best you've made.
Well?
Marie.
Do you have a tingling, Papa, as if your heart were being pricked with needles?
Yes.
And is there a great wave of blackness?
Right here.
And now in your head does a sheet of red pain descend like a terrible... curtain?
Marie then did this. She listened to her daddy's heart. It wasn't beating. She gave him the mirror test for breath. He wasn't breathing. She stuck him with a needle. No reaction. Then she sat down and had a glass of wine. Then, knowing that an alarm should be given, she did this.
Papa is dead! Papa is dead! Papa is dead!
She yelled at everybody. And Papa sure was.
Thank you.
You are listening to Crime Classics and your host, Thomas Highland. Another big weekend coming up. The lure of an extra day off is sure to bring out a flood tide of weekend drivers. A word of reminder to drivers and pedestrians alike, it's the peak traffic loads that cause most accidents. If you're going somewhere, leave early and take your time. Don't permit yourself to drive under rush conditions. Drive carefully holidays, all the days. Drive to survive. Now, once again, Thomas Highland in the second act of Crime Classics, and his report to you on the lethal habit of the Marquise de Brinvilliers. A few words about how a notable was buried in 17th century Paris. The whole court turned out if the weather was nice. If it were inclement, the whole court sent emissaries. On that day in 1673, when the Marquise de Brinvilliers' papa was buried, the weather was nice. Magistrates from all over France were his pallbearers. Before his coffin, a court jester, attired in black, capered in solemn dance. Following the bier, ladies of the court and the ladies-in-waiting walked slowly, weeping. The courtiers came next, arrayed in black lace and black plume. Papa was buried in Sacred Heart Cemetery, an honored figure, revered, a colossus of justice. It's interesting to note that immediately after his coffin was lowered into the ground, an unknown young woman threw herself upon it and could not be dragged away. Only after she realized that she was being buried alive did she hold up her hand for help. Well, Papa got buried, and it was written on the records that his death was due to scalzi, a magistrate's malady.
Doddering fool, the doctor.
But a benefactor, love. Oh, smile, love. Lift your face to mine. Let me place a smile upon it. Come.
No, I am not to be touched in this black mood.
What can trouble you now that your Papa is dead?
We've been tricked.
How?
Immediately he was dead, his man of law was summoned, and I had him read Papa's will.
And?
Papa left all his money to my brothers, to Jean and to Francois.
To you?
Nothing. Merely this, a scrap of paper. Read it.
Woman who is untrue to her husband is untrue to herself. A woman who is untrue to herself will be untrue to her lover. A woman who is untrue to her lover is below the beast to be scorned. What does he mean, untrue to your lover?
He was mad.
I was in prison 3 years.
My father was mad.
Yes. Mary?
Yes?
What of your husband does he know of the will?
He is in Italy, Etruscan curios.
And do what I ask. Raise your face to mine.
No.
My love.
No. I've no heart for it. That wealth to Jean and Francois, that wealth to a pair of unbright youths, pair of loons and dullards who look upon jewels as baubles, who look upon gold as something to exclaim over because it shines, who look upon...
Let us poison Jean-Francois.
What?
Let us poison Jean-Francois.
A suggestion of excellence.
Now lift your face to me.
Yes.
They had to come this far, these star-struck lovers, this far. And this was really the beginning of it, an orgy of poisoning that sent a shudder through all the land. Before they were finished, so many people died that Paris thought she was in the grip of a strange epidemic. But the beginning, then. In the charity hospital of Saint-Vercours, not a large place and run by donations and the largesse of doctors and nurses, one of the nurses was named Angelina Murer, and this is how it went.
Nurse Angelina?
Yes?
I am the Marquise de Brinvilliers.
I am delighted.
I wish to help.
I am delighted. To read to the patients?
I wish to work in the kitchen.
Such as you?
In the kitchen.
We welcome you.
Somehow, and history does not know why, the lovers decided not to use the same poison as killed Papa, but to try out others, to experiment. Somehow, they were caught up in the idea of killing with powders and distillates. So, Marie Magdalene de Brinvilliers went to work in the hospital kitchen. There she seasoned three dishes with her own condiments. A pudding, sprinkled with elixir of hashish and cinnamon. Another, a sauce, compounded of bismuth and strychnine and turpentine. And the third, a fruit drink, in which was dissolved a bit of opium, lye, and digitalis. And next day...
So sad, Marquise.
What is?
Two deaths.
Who?
Monsieur Gaumier.
So sad. I fed him a sauce yesterday, just yesterday.
And Mademoiselle Leblanc.
So sad. I made a delicious orangeade yesterday, just yesterday.
Oh, she shriveled and died. And the youth, Emile Roger, languishes.
So sad. I fed a pudding to him yesterday, just yesterday.
He's turning a strange color, and he is dying.
So sad. So, so sad. Opium, lye, and digitalis.
In prison, Exidy said it was one of the most efficient.
Oh, and he is right. A person shrivels and dies.
And then, your brothers.
Now. What now?
Oh, so anxious you were.
Oh, there's a fascination in this, Godin. A thing you said.
King of the world.
King of the world. And now I know
it. Yes.
And now my brother Jean is in his bedroom. Take this melon to him. It's seasoned well.
And you?
I'll take this other melon to my brother Francois. Come. And when this day is over, the wealth of Papa will be ours. Jean's room is right there. And when it is over...
I'll fly to you. And for now, farewell.
Come in. Ah, Godin. How pleasant to see you. And what have you there? A melon. Oh, I'll wager my sister sent it to me knowing how I love melon. Succulent. Sweet. Such a delicate flavor that fairly melts in the...
It is done.
Wait.
Marie, sister of my heart, how lovely you are this morning, bringing melon to me, red as your blushing cheek. Oh, what a night was mine last, sister. Recall the Baroness of Vermont, she who never opens her mouth, she who lavishes silences upon all who... Oh, delectable melon, as delectable as...
Godin, Godin, beloved. You, the king of the world, and I, the queen. Beloved, beloved.
She liked it. It was an ecstasy. At first, Godin looked a bit askance at her enthusiasm, which more than matched his own. But after a while...
My life, my love, to have deserved you.
Not only deserved her, Sardonyx would say he was stuck with her, because the habit became immediate. All she had to do was not like somebody, and... That was the end of somebody. Don't think for a minute, however, that Cavalier Godin was just whipping up the potions and watching. Le Comte de Longier, he'd snubbed Godin. Mademoiselle Picard, she'd snubbed him too. It got so that people wishing other people dead would come to Marie and or Godin and commission a murder. Never was there a failure.
I love you, Godin.
I love you, Marie.
Lovers, murderers, and later...
I love you, Marie.
I'd like to be alone tonight, Godin.
And later.
I love you, Marie.
I'll see you Monday.
But they kept on poisoning. This is when Paris thought she was in the midst of an epidemic. Until Monsieur de Grey. He was a detective, and he suspected things. And his suspicions led him to Marie Magdalene de Brinvilliers. They met at a horse race.
How fortunate you are.
I beg your pardon.
How lovely you are. How alone you are.
No longer.
Which blossomed?
Kiss me.
Now kiss me.
And flowered.
Pierre, cavalier, beloved, my lord.
Marie, Marie.
Pierre.
Yes?
What do you do?
What do you mean?
As a living.
I'm a policeman.
What?
Policeman. Detective.
Of what?
Crimes.
I see.
Why do you frown?
Oh, no matter.
Then I have all your love?
Yes.
What if you're a husband?
In Africa, finally.
And I've heard...
What?
There is a young man.
You've heard...
That his name is Godin Saint Croix. Marie?
Yes?
I must tell you my love for you was only half a love, as yours is for me.
What are you saying?
I cannot love you fully while this man exists. For as long as he lives, you must bear some love for him, therefore not all your love for me.
Then what shall I do?
I do not know.
Dear Pierre.
Yes.
You wait here. Godin, Godin, beloved, how I've neglected you, and how I've missed you, and how burns my love for you. Quench this fire with your kisses. Oh, yes, and kiss me once again. And again. Was not your death sweet, Godin? Farewell, Godin. Beloved. Oh, no, no, don't kiss me. Wait.
For what?
For there still may be poison on my lips.
What?
I gave Godin a sweet death. He kissed me 3 times and died.
What?
Listen, how clever. I daubed my lips with a sealing oil, and upon this I placed a poison, so that myself I could not absorb the poison. But whoever kissed me...
died.
Yes.
And now Godin is dead.
Yes.
And you killed him.
Yes, yes, oh yes, for you, beloved. Killed him for
you. You were under arrest.
What?
Murderous.
Pierre.
Vile.
Oh.
Evil.
Oh, my love I gave to you.
Horror.
You tricked me. Tricked me.
Beast. Beast.
Marie Magdalene de Brinvilliers was tried and found guilty. She was sentenced to be garrotted. In jail, she went mad, and while awaiting her execution, she had hallucinations that all the food had been poisoned. So, she didn't touch anything. So, she starved to death. Her husband, incidentally, never came back from Africa.
In just a moment, Thomas Highland will tell you about next week's crime classic. The Marquise de Brinvilliers, tonight's crime classic, was adapted from the original court reports and newspaper accounts by Morton Fine and David Friedkin. The music of Francois Couperin was adapted and conducted by Bernard Herrmann, and the program is produced and directed by Elliot Lewis. Thomas Highland is portrayed on radio by Lou Merrill. In tonight's story, Mary Jane Croft was heard as Marie and Lamont Johnson as Godin. Featured in the cast were Herb Butterfield, Joseph Kearns, Truda Marson, Irene Tedrow, Shep Mencken, and Barney Phillips. Bob Lamond speaking. And here again is Thomas Highland.
Next week, Northampton, Massachusetts, in the year 1815. It was usual then to get yourself executed in front of a good-sized audience. And for a murderer with stage fright, that was tough. Which is why next week's report is listed in my files as Mr. Jonathan Jewett, How Most Peculiarly He Cheated the Hangman.
You've had your crime classics for this week, but still ahead tomorrow night on most of these CBS radio stations are a group of classics and comedy. Thursday nights, When You Meet Millie, starring Elena Verdugo, Well-intentioned Millie Bronson and her mama try to help a neighbor in distress and get taken to the cleaners. Also tomorrow night, don't forget to meet Mr. McNutley, starring Ray Milland. Classics and comedy, Thursday night, at the Star's address. Friday nights, enjoy a full-hour Arthur Godfrey Digest on the CBS Radio Network.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.